I just want to tell you how blessed that I am to be here with you, especially to worship with you.
Push that if you want to go on the other side.
One of the wonderful things about being with you is how you worship. And I want you to know that I don't just worship the Lord in the house of the Lord. And there you see blowing the shofar in a park in Pittsfield, New Hampshire, prior to a night of worship, because it's been throughout my walk with the Lord has been my great opportunity to worship Him in public.
Amen.
What a novel idea, right?
Do you ever change clothes?
Yeah, I know. Well, I have different shoes on. But, you know, when you get nice clothes, and when you're my size, by the way, finding clothes is a difficult thing to do.
I wouldn't know.
Yes, I can tell. Yeah, our shirts
are
the same.
I got to get them bigger around. You know?
Yes. Well, you know what I always start out with? I always say, we will have no other king but King Jesus, or as you obviously know, Yeshua. So I start by doing that, and of course, I'm going to cover just for a moment. I like to wear my different patriot clothes and tell people that if you really love Yeshua, you should also love the country that you were born into. And this country of America has a unique history. Now, before I get to the scriptural text that I want to share with you, I'm going to read this with my hat on. This is actually the text of the first National Day of Thanksgiving in America, which originally was set for December 18, 1777. It was declared by the Continental Congress on November 1, 1777. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, and to implore such further blessings as they stand in need of, and it having pleased Him in His abundant mercy, not only to continue to us the innumerable bounties of the common providence, but also to smile upon us in the prosecution of a just and necessary war, for the defense and establishment of our unalienable rights and liberties, particularly in that He hath been pleased in so great a measure to prosper the means used for the support of our troops and to crown our arms with the most signal success. It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of the United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that with one heart and one voice the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, and that together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplications that it may please God, through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, that it may please Him graciously to afford His blessing on the governments of these states respectively, and I said governments of these states respectively, and prosper the public council of the whole, to inspire our commanders both by land and sea and all under them with that wisdom and fortitude which may render them fit instruments under the providence of Almighty God to secure for these United States the greatest of all human blessings, independence and peace, that it may please Him to prosper the trade and manufactures of the people and the labor of the husbandmen, that our day may yet yield its increase, to take schools and seminaries of education, so necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty, virtue and piety, under the nurturing hand, and to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consisteth in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it is further recommended that servile labor and such recreation as, though at other times innocent, may be unbecoming the purpose of this appointment, be omitted on so solemn an occasion. Extract from the minutes, Charles Thompson, Secretary. Now, after that wonderful teaching that Kathy just did, I certainly can hear in what was said here very much what she was just teaching. Obviously in a little different language, but certainly taken from the Bible. And one of the things that is most onerous and I'm very disappointed about here in this country is how few people know what this country is really about, how it was started. I have nothing against people coming from other parts of the country, not at all. Or I should say other parts of the world. But what I do object to is when they come and try to bring something here that is totally against the foundation of this country. And of course, changing it in a way that to me is more in line with the Antichrist than with the Christ. And so going out in public, as we've had the opportunity to do so many times, and educate the people. I had a conversation last night with two women who was pretty exciting, particularly one of them, who really knew a lot of the history of America. Because I said, they're not teaching this anymore, why aren't they teaching it? Do you know that the first school that was started by Christians? It was started to educate, and it was called the Old Deluder Satan Act, 1643. That every village or town, when it got to be 50 people or more, would hire a teacher to teach the kids how to read and write so that they would not be deluded by Satan. That was the derivation of public education, which now is government school, in that time period. So, wonderful things that we learned from history.
Yes.
And I read out of this little booklet, I brought a few of them along, available to you, Founder's Wisdom. It's always wonderful that when people start saying, well, you know, that's not what it's about. Pull out the scriptures. Pull out something like this. Pull out the Citizen Rule Book. Pull out the Constitution of the United States. Pull out the Bill of Rights and show them right there and put them on the spot. Because what I like to do is I like them to incriminate themselves. Now, Chet knows, he's been involved in police work. Isn't it easy when they don't zip their lip and they incriminate themselves? You know, we have to read them the Miranda rights and so forth and so on. Anything you say and do can be used against you in a court of law and will be used against you in a court of law. So for us as believers in Yeshua and believers in the true story of America, let's make sure the people are incriminating themselves, showing they don't understand. Well, saints, can we say that here?
You can say that here.
Yeah, we can, can't we? We don't have to have a, you know, a denomination that designates this person, that person. These are saints, these are not saints. All believers in Yeshua, right? They're the saints. Well, saints, thank you. Draw your swords. Come on, draw them up. I want to make sure that everybody here is armed and dangerous. And how can you be armed and dangerous? The Word of God, the sword of the Lord. Turn with me to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Get some scriptures there. Genesis chapter 1. Just a couple of verses that I want for us to look at there. Starting verse 27. I have chosen actually to read from the King James translation, partly because two particular Bibles were greatly influential on the founding documents of America. One was the Geneva Bible that came over with the Pilgrims on the Mayflower, and the other was the King James translation. And actually, Chet and I were talking today, and I said, did you know? No, it was actually Tim and I were talking. And I said, did you know that Congress paid for Bibles? Robert Atkin printed them, and they were 4 inches by 6 inches. That's a small Bible. Why was that? So it could be placed in the pocket right over the heart. No, thy word have I placed in my heart that I would not sin against thee. Okay, reading from Genesis 27, or 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and lo, every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Now, before we turn to several other scriptures that I'd like to share with you today, let me share a little bit here of what my motivation is sharing these particular scriptures and as a theme. You know, and I've spoken to you about it before, years ago when I went up to Carson City. Some people say I go to bless the capitals. That's not really true. I go to prophesy over them and to challenge them and to remind them, for example, of what 2 Samuel 23 says, civil magistrates must rule in the fear of God or they will be judged. So I don't go to bless them unless, of course, they believe hearing the word of God is a blessing, and it is. But if you're a rebel who wants to stand against the blessing of God, you're getting prophesied against. Because you're being reminded, you will be judged. So, we just recently did number 49, where my wife is from, in Salem, Oregon. And on Memorial Day, or no, not, yeah, Memorial Day, we were there. We were there for National Maritime Day and so forth. And we prophesied over the capital there at Salem. Isn't that an interesting name, Salem? Yes. Well, it was very interesting as we were speaking, and the video will be posted very soon on the website for people to see what was actually said. A fellow was over doing yoga, standing on his head in the park across the street, and I sang the national anthem, Acapulco. Some people call that a cappella. And this guy came running over and he said, who was that that was singing? Well, I don't scare easily, especially somebody that stands on their head doesn't scare me very much. But I said, that would be me. I take credit for that. He says, well, dude, that was great singing. I heard it all the way over there. And so we started talking. He said, yeah, I was standing on my head doing yoga. And I heard that and I decided I've got to find out who was singing that. I'm thinking, that's pretty funny. Okay, so we talked with him for a while and of course shared what we were doing and why we were doing it and some scriptures and whatever. And another man walked by and he had a Korean War veteran hat on, so I saluted him and we talked for a while and I said, what's your name? He said, my name is John Burning. I said, Burning, like burning? Yes, John Burning. I said, oh, okay, John. I said, well, what are you out here doing? I said, we're prophesying over the Capitol here. We're trying to challenge these people who will be coming back in on Tuesday for the legislative session that they better rule in the fear of God or they'll be judged. And we'll vote them out of office too. That's part of the judgment of God, right? So he said, well, I'm a non-theist. I said, you're an atheist? He said, no, I'm a non-theist. Okay, a non-theist is different than an atheist, all right. Then he walked away and he came back and said, actually, I'm not really a non-theist, I'm an unbeliever. And I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, John, but you are here, you're talking to me, and we are very much believers. And I said, what are you here for? Did you come for our prayer meeting or something to see? And he said, no, I came here because of another gathering. I said, really, what's the gathering? He said, about GMOs. So he started to walk away, and I said, well, John, I know this is not the language you would use, but let me just say, the Lord bless you with the understanding of his presence and your need for him. And he actually smiled at me. He didn't get bent out of shape or anything like that. Well, soon thereafter came a whole group of these people with signs, we're against GMOs. One of them actually, in talking, said, well, yeah, the Patriot pastor, you're against GMOs. Well, that's pretty unique.
Why don't you tell what a GMO is?
I'm going to do that in a second. Thank you. GMO, as Pastor is reminding me to tell you what that acronym is, means genetically modified organisms. Okay? Now, just at this moment, let's stop and remember what we have just read in Genesis. Okay? The Lord said, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. Okay? Well, that certainly is one reason for not having abortion. It's also a good reason for not having GMOs, genetically modified organisms. There's another reason for that. And of course, as we read in verse 29, what the Lord has given for healing in terms of plants, and of course, plants that have seeds. And I have often said to people, if you, and I did this a couple of years ago in Illinois, where I was in amongst a lot of farmers. One fellow was boasting he had a 3,000 acre farm. I said, really? You don't own your farm? He goes, what do you mean I don't own it? We've owned it for generations. I said, but I believe you do business with Monsanto. Is that true? He said, well, of course. I believe you buy genetically modified organism seeds and you plant them, and you have to every year buy more seeds from them instead of what the Lord's purpose is you plant something and then you end up with your own seeds, like people that plant corn. They get seed corn. They don't have to go out and buy it anymore. Or, for example, people that raise cattle. If the cattle are sterile, then you have to go out and get more cattle. You're not making your own little cattle over there on your farm. See? So I consider that to be contrary to what Scripture says. So these group of people gathered together, and they were out there, and I thought, well, the Lord gives us great opportunity. It was a Vietnam veteran there that I talked to, and I said, a lot of my friends, being a Vietnam era myself, Army, I said, a lot of my friends are dead because of glycophosphate. And he said, really? I said, yeah, you know what that is. He says, what? I said, that's Agent Orange, otherwise known by today's standard as Roundup. You hear what I'm saying? Roundup. Do you think the Lord wants that? Now, I may be going out on difficult territory here. Some of you may be farming. You may be using glycophosphate. You may be using Roundup. But if you are, you're using something that's genetically modified organism, and you're killing off what the Lord wants to have as for seed. And you won't have a farm, but Monsanto will control you. Not just Monsanto, and this is not a paranoid statement, but what really touched my heart and moved me greatly was that a woman in the crowd came forward and she said to me, can you answer something for me, a question for me? And I said, well, of course I can. Well, I'll try. You know, and if I don't have the answer, I'll go get it. What is it? She said, why the church is not here? And I stood there like a deer in the headlights, and I said, you know, I can't answer that. Because truly, if we believe Scripture, and we believe what we've just read in the book of Genesis, and if you want to turn with me to Psalm 24, The first verse of Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Okay, we'll do a little bit more turning. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The verse there. We're getting there. 10 pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26. "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." All right, let me be a little snide when I say this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It doesn't belong to Monsanto. Okay? Monsanto is really trying to take over all food production. How many of you here like to eat? How many of you here like to eat regularly? Well, I'm one of those. I would hold up both hands, but one of them's busy, so. My point to you is this. We are in a position in America where we're not growing much of our food anymore. If you travel across this wonderful land that the Lord has blessed us with, there's lots of places to grow food. But the more that Monsanto is doing with the GMOs, people won't have seed, they'll have to buy it from Monsanto. And incidentally, then you have to buy the fertilizer from them, which is all chemicalized. Then you have to buy the pesticides from them, heavy-duty chemicals that are affecting people. And I believe that in a sense, we're disobeying what the Lord has told us to do here. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Now, Kathy alluded to it to a certain degree. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And quickly turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, not far away, and verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own?" Years ago, I mean, I'm just an American boy, born in Lexington, Massachusetts, raised in New Hampshire on the seacoast, grew up around farms and, you know, picked apples off of trees and all those kind of things. And as a typical American, you know, we were taught that certain things with food, and I later found out that Twinkies are not food. They may be fun, but they're not food. Literally, because you can put them on the shelf and 20 years later you can come back and they're still there. Even the mice don't even run off with them, you know, so that tells you something, right?
Twinkie guns now.
Yeah. So my point is that we thought certain things were food. Well, we may think that certain things are food now, and they're not. And they're dangerous to our health and dangerous, like a lot of the stuff that's happening with people with allergies because of vaccinations, using certain oils in the vaccinations that cause allergic reactions. You know, and of course, don't you just like it when you read the contradictions and the side effects of certain things? This only killed 0.002% of the people that were given it. Gee, that doesn't sound like many people were killed. Well, multiply it by the couple of million people that received it, and only 0.2002% died. That's still a lot of people, and especially if it happens to be your mother or your father or your son or your daughter or you or your wife. See, and they make it out like, no big deal. There are things going on that are also defilements of these scriptures. Don't defile the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting, after the teaching we've had today, which was wonderful about the temple and so forth and so on, that Jesus has told us, Yeshua has told us in the New Covenant, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what happened with me, and I'm trying not to step on anybody's toes here, I'm just expressing some things that I learned in this. I was sitting one night at my desk, looking out the window, and going through those scriptures, and thought about the fact, okay, what's that mean? He who destroys this temple, I will destroy. Well, how does that happen? You know, do we expect lightning bolts from heaven? You destroyed the temple, you're destroyed. Well, I've kind of hoped for that for certain people that are in government, that, you know, they vote for killing babies, they're gone. But the wheels of God turn slowly, but they turn exceedingly fine, don't they? But I couldn't shake what I thought the Holy Spirit was trying to teach me about this. You know, you don't make food your religion, okay? But what does this mean? That he who destroys this temple, I will destroy. I have full belief that genetically modified organisms are not God's will and against God's plan. Very seriously so. Especially, why do I believe that? I do because of science believe it. I have lots of friends that are dead because of Agent Orange. Some were early deaths, some were late. I just lost a dear friend of mine about a year ago who was a Vietnam veteran. Died as a latecomer, so to speak, to Agent Orange, and he died a miserable death. Fortunately, he knew Christ as his Savior. When I say he died a miserable death from a physical standpoint, he went to be with the Lord. But what he went through because of that, and others that died earlier, you know, back in the Vietnam days, from Agent Orange, glyphosate, Roundup. Well, we were told at the time, that wasn't bad stuff. It was a defoliator, you know? It's like spraying vinegar on something, you know? But that wasn't true. We've been lied to about a lot of things. And so when that woman asked me, where's the church? I have to ask the question just the same as whether it be traditional or natural marriage. Natural is what I meant to say. Where was the church when it comes to the life of the unborn? You know, I've got my little feet there and so forth and so on. I had the great joy of being out this morning at the abortion mill. And I say great joy, not because of what's going on there, but because we're there. And I carry Baby Hope everywhere I go. I've given out thousands of these, including at the Hoover Dam one time, where I had a whole gathering of people. Pastor Wally knows about that. I gave up a pocket knife that day. But I didn't stop about Baby Hope. They had to get the lecture, you know. Because where's the church on these things? Well, who's the church? We are. And so the issue is, on that day, on Memorial Day, in front of the Capitol, and it was also very interesting, I said to my wife, let's go around the building. Here was a Liberty Bell with Leviticus on it, right by the Capitol, a circuit-riding Methodist preacher, statues, all stuff around there, and the World War II memorial. And in the window on the second floor was a sign that said, vote no on Proposition 4, I think it is, which in Oregon, they are working on voting out GMOs, no GMOs. And I thought, I told her, I said, on Tuesday, that sign won't be in the window because whoever put that there, who's working in there, you can't do that. You can't express your own personal views and whatever else, but I said, God bless that person who did that, because lots of people got to see it. It was also about protecting the family farms. We need these farms. We need to eat real food. We don't want to be buying food from other countries. That is a national security issue. Because let me tell you something. I lived in Hawaii for a long time. And in Hawaii, they sent from Washington, Oregon, all the oranges and apples that they played baseball with, and they were lousy. And I said, that in Hawaii, grow your own food. It's a good place to do it. So I just present that to you. Thank you for the opportunity always to be with you. I appreciate you so much, and I love you, and I express that love to you, but I also appreciate the love you give back. Keep praying for us. We get more opportunity all the time to be out in public and get to tell people what the truth of Scripture is. Let me pray over you. Well, Father, we thank you for this time together. I thank you for the opportunity to share from my heart what I believe that you put on my heart to share with these wonderful saints of God here. And I thank you, Lord, that they will do their own research, they will do some study, and that they'd be willing to stand up for the things that you're wanting to stand up for and for us, because we are a remnant people. We know that there are many people that are not going to listen, but we are thankful for those that do. And I just pronounce that blessing upon them In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, my Lord and Savior. Amen. And someone has stolen my country. And I want her back. And I want her back now.
Amen.